and welcome to this special edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast with me, Timothy John, and our special guest, Tiffany Keep of Das Hutchinson Brother UK, who in less than 2 weeks' time will represent South Africa at the Olympic Games in Paris. Tiffany, thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
Hi, Tim. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, not at all. It's great to have you with us, and particularly at such a busy part of the season. I mean, you're coming to us live and direct from France. That seems as good a place to start as any. You were racing yesterday. I'm sure I'm going to mangle this, in La Picto-Charente. It's a UCI 1.1 race with a heck of a start list. Movistar team, Arkea BMW, Cofidis, you name it. Tell me about the race.
Yeah, it was really nice to get a final race with my team under the belt before heading to Paris and racing with my national team in 2 weeks' time. But yeah, the race itself, I think, kind of almost replicated the course of Paris in a way, in that it was really punchy and it was a really fast race. As you've already mentioned, a very stacked field was there, which was actually a really great tester for me. And yeah, my only objectives for the race were really to stay safe and yeah, just go all in and try and really push myself in the race. Working on my mental game has been something that I've been focusing on for the last few weeks, and really trying to get the most out of myself in races and push myself to my full potential. So I really felt that I emptied the tank yesterday and was very happy to help play more of a team role in helping Weaver get to finish in the front group of the race and be sprinting just outside the top 20. So yeah, it was nice to see her get a result after all our efforts in the race. I was, yeah, personally very happy with how I felt after doing some good training in the heat in Spain. And yeah, I was overall good sensations, and I was quite happy with my own performance.
You mentioned, you know, working on your mental game, trying to get everything out while staying safe. How tricky is that balance? How difficult is it to line up against 150 odd riders, knowing that you have the opportunity of a lifetime in less than a fortnight's time, and trying to stay upright while trying to give your best?
Yeah, I think it's really, like, it seems counterintuitive, but the more you think about crashing, the more, or not crashing, the higher the chances that you do have of actually crashing. Because immediately when it's on your mind, you a lot more tense and you ride in a very frigid way, which kind of actually almost attracts crashing. And you might tend to ride more towards the back of the group, where ultimately that is more of the danger zone as such. You want to be riding more in the front, where there's statistically less chance of a crash happening. Not saying that it doesn't happen, yeah, it's just, you just have to really remain relaxed. And I would say for the most part of yesterday's race, I was really relaxed, which I was very happy with. Thankfully, with the team racing quite a nice UCI calendar this year, these races become kind of, it just becomes just another bike race, really. And it's another opportunity. And not to kind of take away from the importance of the race, but more in the way that you don't get so worked up about it. It's not like your whole life depends on this one race. If not everything goes 100% according to plan, you can kind of just roll with the punches a bit more. So every race is a learning experience and an opportunity. Yeah, for yesterday, it was just about staying safe. And so I knew in order to do that, I would need to be riding quite near the front, staying relaxed, trying to follow moves where I could. As that was my job for the day, ready to shut down any moves, try to go with moves off the front, try protect Weaver and ensure that she was doing as little work as possible so that she could save her matches for the end. And in doing so, I burnt some matches on, well, all my matches by the second to last lap. My teammate Lucy Lee and I closed down a split together, and we worked really hard to close that down. And then on the second to last lap, there was a move going which I thought was the move of the race, and instinctively followed it and really emptied the tank to get there. Unfortunately, it didn't end up being the move of the day, and it did end up coming back together. But I don't regret that decision, because acting on instinct is it's a split second decision, and one day it might be the one that stays away. So yeah, I was happy with how I felt, and to finish the race safely.
You mentioned a moment ago, you know, you've had a busy program this year, UCI races. You were recently at the Volta a Portugal Feminina. I spoke recently to your Portuguese teammate, Vera Valeta, who unfortunately was involved in quite a heavy crash in that race. You had a really good ride. I think you were fifth on stage three. You were just outside the top 10 on the opening stage. I mean, how beneficial has this broad, diverse program, everything from rounds of the National Circuit Series to World Tour stage races like the Women's Tour, how valuable has that been in your preparation for the Olympic Games?
Yeah, hugely beneficial. I think the field that we'll be racing with at the Olympic Games is one which I thankfully have had the opportunity to race with a few times this season, with the World Tour race opportunities we've had, which really helps with that imposter syndrome that you often feel if you're riding with these big name riders that you see on TV. And it's kind of this little thought that creeps in where you don't see yourself as worthy as riding with them, or racing alongside them and not as good as them. And the more you expose yourself to that kind of environment where you're forced to race with these bigger riders, the better actually. And the more you kind of see them for just who they are, which, I mean, they're just bike racers just like you. And it's good to keep exposing yourself to that so that it becomes more of the norm. And yeah, our calendar this year has been really good, a huge step up from last year. And even just yesterday, I could see it with kind of how I felt quite relaxed before the start. I wasn't stressed. The first race of the season, I was definitely more nervous, and I think it takes a while to get into the swing of things. But yeah, just with the way I rode, I feel I was a lot more level-headed and could think a lot more clearly, not carrying around so much nervous energy, which often does detract from really giving your best on the day. So yeah, the more relaxed you can be, the better, and the more normal the environment is, that is really achieved by, like I said, exposing yourself to it more frequently. And at the end of the day, they're just bike races. And I think anyone that lines up has a good shot at the race, and it's just about reminding yourself of that and being able to kind of switch that imposter syndrome off in the race and just focus on racing your bike to the best of your ability.
Yeah, well, that will be an entirely unwarranted in your case, Tiffany. You've been a bike racer since you could ride a bike, so imposter syndrome certainly doesn't apply. I mean, getting back to this theme of, you know, your season sort of gathering momentum, if you like. You have that very early start by British standards. You're back home in South Africa. You're racing in February. Is that an advantage? Is it difficult to start and then stop? You had a gap of about 2 months, I think, between a couple of races over at home and then the East Cleveland Classic, where you finished fifth. So you hit the ground running as far as your UK season is concerned. Does that early start help you?
I would say yes and no. It is very hard to maintain form over a season that is 11 months long. And ultimately in South Africa, we have quite a busy start to the year. Racing kicks off at the end of January. And the first 3 months of the year is quite packed with racing. More so on the mountain bike than on the road these days, but it is quite a busy time for me. And then I do a full European season, and then when I get back home, there's quite a few races also lined up until November. So it is very long. And of course, all the South Africans that have stayed home have had like kind of a 2 month break in the middle of the year, so they're firing on all cylinders for those last few races of the season, whereas I am generally quite a bit more tired. it's hard to maintain form over that length of period, but I think we've approached differently this year, my coach and I, in the way that We kind of took a bit of a break after my final race in South Africa. When I say a break, it was really just like a week and a half of less training load and just more of a mental break than anything else before building up the training again towards my European season. And so it's just about really balancing it and listening to your body, I would say. But for sure, by the time I got to the East Cleveland Classic, I was grateful that I'd already had two race opportunities that year prior to the race, because it's always quite a big risk to go into kind of a bigger event having no races under the belt for the season thus far, because you never really know how the race is going to go. Not that you forget how to race your bike, but more a case of that you don't know where everyone else is at. You don't actually know where you're at in terms of racing fitness. So it's a bit of a catch-22. And yeah, I was grateful that I'd already had two race opportunities to kind of remind myself of what it feels like to be going full gas. Yeah, by the time we got to East Cleveland Classic, it was also a bit of an adjustment to be racing back overseas with a totally different race dynamic to what we have in South Africa. But yeah, it was good to get started with the top five there and carry that momentum through to the rest of the season.
Can you tell us a little bit about the scene in South Africa? It's not quite so developed as over here, I think, but expanding nonetheless.
Yeah, so in South Africa, I would say we're more well known for our mountain bike scene currently than our road racing, especially with the Cape Epic, which is often seen as being the Tour de France of mountain biking, the toughest, in my opinion, mountain bike stage race in the world.
You speak from experience.
Yes, having done it last year, I can say that. But yeah, obviously there's a lot more stage races in the world I haven't done. But yeah, it really is a super hard race. It still is the hardest race I've ever done. The marathon mountain bike scene in South Africa is really kind of booming at the moment. I would say that's probably the biggest discipline if we talking about number of participants. But ultimately, all of our events in South Africa rely on mass participation. So they're structured quite differently to here where, well, for example, in the UK, you'll have any of our elite races. We only have two events on one day, one being the women's race and the men's race. And it's only kind of for the elite races. So not even the juniors and the younger age categories race on the same day. Whereas in South Africa, the elite category starts at the crack of dawn in order to make sure that the roads are clear for when we come into the finish line, because behind us are all the other age categories. And when I say there's a lot of people, the biggest mass participation one-day event we have on the road is probably the Cape Town Cycle Tour, where there's around 30,000 people that partake every year. So it's a lot of people that they have to get through in one day. Yeah, that's why we start so early, so that we can finish. And it's quite a weird feeling to be crossing the finish line and kind of seeing people in the start pin still about to start their race and we've already finished. It's pretty crazy. So yeah, that's really the bread and butter of the racing, and in a way allows us to have our own separate race. The road racing we do have, I would say, is quite good, even though unfortunately there are a lot fewer events on the calendar than there used to be. I would say the golden age of South African road cycling was for the best part of 10 years ago, when there was a lot more on the calendar. But in saying that, the races we do have are really cool. I usually earmark around three or four of them that I try to do every year, one of them being the national champs and in Cape Town Cycle Tour, Ride Joburg, which is in November. And yeah, there's another local race, which is on the roads I grew up riding on, called Amashova. And yeah, those races are well organized. We race along a really cool route, and it is always mostly the same route every year, but still a really good day out.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, fascinating to hear. I mean, you use that phrase sort of golden age. And I mean, I think it would be fair to apply to the current women's scene in the UK. 6 British registered UCI continental women's teams, 2 world tour stage races, both of which you competed in, the Ride London and the Tour of Britain Women. Just how valuable has your time over here been to your development? I mean, is it fair to say that, you know, you wouldn't be going to the Olympic Games if it wasn't for the progress you'd made in the UK, or is that overstating things?
No, I definitely don't think it's overstating at all. It for sure has been really pivotal in my growth as a cyclist, and I think my decision to come race in the UK has really helped shape kind of my cycling career from the last 2 years. I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've been given to race alongside some of the best cyclists in the world. And those type of races you learn so much from. And for sure, I've definitely seen that I've made a lot of progress since I decided to make that leap and start racing overseas for more extended periods of time. And I always knew that would happen, but it was about finding the right time to do it. And once I finished my university degree in South Africa, I decided I was going to take that leap my first year out of university. I'm so grateful that I did. It's been such an amazing experience. Not only have I really grown as an athlete, just as a person, traveling around the world on your own really helps you grow up quite fast. It's for sure helped prepare me for all these opportunities that are coming up on the horizon. And funnily enough, one of my teammates messaged me yesterday after the race and said that she could really see, having not raced with me this year really yet, how I've grown in confidence and have really improved in the space of the year. And it was really nice to hear that, because I think as athletes, we're often our own worst critics, and you don't always see the progression because it happens. Sometimes it's a bit slower than we would like it to. So it's very nice to hear feedback like that. And just take a step back and realize that we've actually come quite a long way. And it's been a really cool process.
You're speaking to us from France now, Tiff. We're closing in. I think we're less than a fortnight now from the games. How will you spend the next 13 days?
Yeah, so I chose to stay in France because to just try and minimize travel, and also to try recon a bit of the route outside of Paris. I will be attending the opening ceremony this Friday, which just for me to be saying that sounds pretty crazy. I will be there. It's a quite unique opportunity in the way that the road race is over a week after the opening ceremony. So I really decided I want to make the most of this experience, and I'll be commuting into Paris for the day to attend the opening ceremony. And I'm currently staying in Tours, a bit south of Paris, but to provide an opportunity to have a bit of a base here for a week and a half before moving into the athlete village, where I could really train on some nice roads around here and have a bit more of a settled base, which definitely helps, because the traveling is a lot more tiring than we often think it is on top of racing. It takes a lot out of you, and I do believe that having a routine and having some extra recovery time will really prove to be beneficial come race day.
Just using that phrase, attending the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, it's absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, is it too much to say that this is fulfilling a lifetime's ambition, or is that about right?
No, definitely. It's, when I started racing, I remember at school we were kind of given this page in life orientation, one of the subjects we had to do, where we got asked, what are your goals and what are you passionate about? What are your goals? And for me, one of the first things that popped into my head was go to the Olympics. And I remember writing that down. And several times since then, it's always been the thing that I think about when people ask me, what do you want to achieve in your sport? And yeah, it's really crazy. Yeah, it feels very surreal. I think I'm in a very relaxed environment at the moment, away from kind of the all the hype happening in Paris, which is also kind of why I wanted to be based outside. It's a bit more, yeah, a bit more chilled and in the build-up. But that being said, there's a lot of Paris 2024 branding and hype going around the country in general. Every once in a while, I mean, I went to the shops a bit earlier today and there was some official Olympic merchandise in there. And it's, yeah, I was looking at this thinking, it's pretty crazy that I'm going to be there in a few days' time. And yeah, I think it will really only hit home when I'm actually there. But yeah, if I think about that little girl who started cycling at the who started racing at the age of 10, cycling at the age of 3, I think she would be over the moon to find out that she would be going to the Olympics at 23. And yeah, when I found out, I was entirely over the moon. I nearly fell off my chair. But it's been, yeah, it's going to be an incredible experience, and I really just want to make the most of it.
Absolutely extraordinary. I mean, I've got written down here, how were you told? Give us an insight into that. If it was enough to make you fall off your chair, it obviously came as a surprise.
Yeah, so this is it. Like, for the Olympics, it's such a tricky event in terms of qualification, as we've seen with a few other nations this year. There often is, when it comes to the selection process and qualifying for the games, it's never really something where you should be dead certain that you're going. So for me this year, I knew I was within a shout of going to the Olympics, but never once did I just assume that I was. And so my approach to this season was really to just try and focus on my European racing season and make the most of it, and try and make progress and see how I did there. And when I received the email stating, with the official letterhead stating that I was going, with my name written there, next to Ashley Moorman-Passios. Yeah, I was just unbelievably stoked. It kind of just arrived randomly in my inbox and in a time frame we were roughly given. It was so unexpected, and I think that's what made it so special. I can really appreciate the opportunity because, yeah, it was a surprise in a lot of ways. And even though a lot of people have said to me that it was not a surprise for them, I think that, I definitely appreciate it a lot more because, yeah, it wasn't something that was dead certain from the start of the year. Especially, I mean, after our national champs early in the year, I thought my Olympic hopes were out the window. So I was very overwhelmed and I'm just really stoked. I was sitting next to my teammate Tammy, who I'm currently staying with in the UK, at her kitchen table, and she just gave me a massive hug and her mom gave me a hug, and it was just a really happy moment. And when I told my parents, they were also over the moon, so yeah, it's pretty special.
What a story. I mean, to see your name there alongside Ashley's, you know, I'm lucky enough to do some work alongside her many years ago now, and she was a hugely impressive figure off the bike as well as on. Presumably, Ashley will spearhead the team and you'll work for her.
Yeah, that's definitely the plan. She'll be race leader going into the Olympics. And I feel it will be her final Olympics as well. For her, she just really wants to give it a good crack. And I think if she's on her tip-top shape, I really believe that she's definitely within a shout of a medal. I'm very excited to line up alongside her and just help her have the best race possible. And for me, my job is very clear. That also helps take a bit of the pressure off me, which is quite nice. So yeah, I know exactly what I need to do in order to just help South Africa have the best race possible that we can.
Yeah, hard to think of a more inspiring leader. What do you make of the course? 158K, 1700 meters of climbing up Montmartre every lap once the race has returned to Paris. What do you make of it?
Yeah, the course is, I think, is awesome. It's a very classic-y style course and quite different to previous editions of the Games. As we saw in Rio and Tokyo, those were definitely more kind of climbers courses, whereas this race, it's wide open, in my opinion. It really is a course where, yeah, riders, it doesn't really specifically suit a certain type of rider, which will make it really exciting, I think. And, yeah, there's a cobbled climb in the course as well, which we do several times in the city circuit, which is really cool. Yeah, the climbs are punchy, and I'm sure the style of the course is quite arduous, and it will be an attritional race in the way that it will kind of wear away at the competitors over time. And I do think it's going to be raced quite hard. So yeah, mentally it's going to be about going all in and just, yeah, like I said, hence why I've been working on my mental game the last while. So I really just want to cross that line, totally just happy with my performance, that I gave everything I could on the day. We'll see what happens.
Are there any specific races in your back catalogue that might help you here? I mean, you rode the World Championships last year for South Africa in Glasgow. I mean, clearly a different course in Paris, but that concept of riding back into a major city for laps of a circuit punctuated with very steep climbs, could that help you? I mean, a cobbled climb, it's probably as far removed from Michael Gate as we can imagine, but you've ridden the Lincoln Grand Prix. Is there anything, Tiff, in your experience that you're hoping to draw upon?
No, for sure. The World's course from last year draws a lot of similarities to the Paris course. And I do believe the two courses are a lot more similar than some people may think. And yeah, that style of racing is exactly what this course will be. It's kind of like, if you look at the profile, it's just almost 11 times that we are punching up these climbs throughout the duration of the race, with some smaller climbs in between, of course. Yeah, it's that style of racing, it's very punchy, and as I mentioned already, wears away at the competitors over time. There's not much flat. It's either downhill, uphill, or going into a corner. And it's quite a technical course as well, which is something that I really enjoy coming from a mountain bike background. So I do believe that, yeah, I can really do a good race on this course, all being well. And it is a course that I believe suits me as a rider, and it's an exciting opportunity.
Oh, so you can say that again. I mean, you're thousands of miles from home when you're in the UK. Do you have family coming over?
Yeah, I'm really excited to have my parents come over to watch me. They have never been able to come watch me race overseas before. And so, yeah, it's amazing that they have the opportunity to do so this year. And I'm really excited. My dad and mom have been there for me since day one from racing. It's going to be really special for them to watch me compete over here. I really do believe that these experiences of racing overseas have helped me really grow as a rider, and the way I like to race now is largely thanks to the experiences I've had over here racing in the UK and in Europe. And so yeah, I think it will be awesome for them to come experience that firsthand and really see what it's like. Of course, it's always easy to watch a race on TV and speculate, but I think that you get the full experience when you watch it in person and you see how fast and how hard it is. So yeah, it will definitely add an extra layer of morale to see them on the sidelines and pre and post race.
I'm sure if there's anybody looking forward to the race as much as you, Tiffany, it will be your parents to see your daughter race in an Olympic Games. Must be such a proud moment. How on earth will you follow racing at an Olympic Games? Have you given any thought to what comes next, or are you focused solely on August the 4th?
I think in the build-up, I've been really focused on being as well prepared as possible for this race, but also to not put all my eggs in one basket with it. It is, at the end of the day, just another bike race, be it probably the biggest one that I will ever do up until this point. I think it's also important to look at the bigger picture, really use it for what it is and make the most of it, give it my absolute best. And all we can do is just see how it unfolds on race day. But going forward for the rest of the season, I'll be jumping back into some UK racing with the Rydale Grand Prix happening shortly after the Olympic Games, and then some European racing again. I return home to South Africa in October, so I still have a good month and a half of racing to fit in after Olympics, and I'll be wanting to make the most of it for sure.
Well, absolutely. I mean, being a multidisciplinary rider too, you know, you talked about the South African mountain bike scene earlier, and I was watching Alan Hatherley the other day winning a round of the UCI World Cup. I mean, gosh, since Discovery Plus have put mountain biking on the same page as road racing, I've suddenly become a convert to watching XC mountain biking, which is absolutely fantastic. I mean, is that sort of part of your program too? Will you be back off-road as well?
I will hopefully be doing a bit of mountain bike racing when I'm back in South Africa. If not racing, definitely riding my mountain bike. I absolutely love it. And where I'm based in South Africa, and Stellenbosch is kind of mountain bike paradise in a lot of ways. People have come from all over the world to ride the trails there. And I think it's a real gem. And I love just disappearing into the mountains on my bike. And it's quite nice to switch it up after a quite intense road season with just having some fun riding my mountain bike and on different terrain. Yeah, there's a mountain bike stage race in particular that hopefully I'll be doing at the end of this year called Wines to Wales, which is a 3-day race, which is always quite a fun way to end off the season. We'll see how things unfold in the next few months, but hopefully I'll be on the start line this year. And if not, I'll definitely be riding my mountain bike out on the mountains.
Great. And what about your sort of ultimate ambition, Tiffany? You've made huge steps, as you said, throughout your cycling career, and especially since you've been racing in the UK. I mean, if you continue on the same trajectory, where are you hoping this path will take you?
Yeah, so the ultimate goal is to be racing at the highest level in the sport, at World Tour level on a European team. And yeah, I do believe I've made some good steps towards that this year, but I always want more. I do believe there's still room for improvement for the rest of this year, and I'm really looking forward to making the most of each and every race opportunity I get. And yeah, we'll see what happens next year, but for now I'm just focused on taking it one race at a time, learning as much as possible from each experience, of course, but really making the most of it at the same time. We'll see what happens.
Well, very best of luck. I mean, you couldn't be in better hands with Das Hutchinson, Brother UK, and it's wonderful to see the progress that you've made in your time inside the Brother Cycling family. Wishing you all the luck in the world, Tiff, for the Paris Olympic Games. I'll be tuning into the opening ceremony to see you stride along with the South African team. But yes, thank you very much again for joining us, and very best of luck on August the 4th.
Thank you very much, Tim.
If If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.